Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. We're going to go down through verse 17. Let's stand in honor to God's word. Acts chapter 9, or Acts chapter 10, verse 9. It says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descend unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein there were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice unto him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, about behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate." I'm going to have a word of prayer. The special music will come, and then we will see what God has for us in this portion of Scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that we can take our minds and we can place them on missions for just a few minutes this morning. God, it's a good exercise for our minds to be placed on someone else, some other people, God, besides ourselves. Lord, I pray that you just come down, that you'd meet with us. That's the most important thing. Lord, if you meet with us, all of our needs will be met. And God, we just ask you to do that in Jesus' name and amen.
Wandering aimlessly, thirsting endlessly, all I found was bitter water from an earthy stream. How my soul did cry, how I feared to die, everlasting life was just a dream. Water from the rock is what I needed, water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied.
In this wilderness, earth's dark wilderness, he was smitten with a rod from his Father's hand. All my sin he bore as he suffered more than this human mind could understand.
Water from the rock is what I needed, water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. Satisfied. If you're looking for life with something more, there's refreshing water flowing now from Calvary. Leave your past behind, climb God's hill and find heaven's answer for your soul. Deep need. Water from the rock is what I needed, water from which no one is denied. When I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied.
Amen. Thank you, young people, for that song. That was excellent. Water that satisfies. Amen. Over in John 3. Let's go over to Acts chapter 10. As we read verse 9 through verse 17, here it talks about Peter on top of a roof. And as Peter was on top of the roof, he saw a vision. a vision from God. And I just want to speak to you this morning briefly on the subject of missions. Next Sunday, we're kicking off our missions conference. And boy, as I look back on a few missions conference that I've been a part of, missions conference is always a highlight of the year. And I'm sure it's a highlight for you as well. You're able to think about the messages that God has spoken to you. Or maybe your favorite guest speaker coming in and preaching, maybe a missionary or something like that. And next week, we're going to be kicking that off. But I want to bring a message this morning that'll just help you prepare your heart for the missions conference. That's all I want you to do this morning, is to realize the importance of a prepared heart for a missions conference. It makes all the difference in the world. Here in Acts chapter 10, we have the apostle, or the Peter, up on top of the rooftop, Simon the tanner. And he was up there and he saw the vision as we read. And before Acts 10, the gospel had gone to the Jews. In Acts chapter 1, we have where Jesus, he goes and he tells the disciples to wait up in the upper room and they will receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. So they're up there and they're waiting, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and Peter, of course, is in that upper room. And in a few minutes after the Holy Spirit comes down, Peter goes out and he preaches, and the disciples and the followers of Jesus begin to speak in tongues. And we read there in chapter 2 where over 3,000 Jews trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then other nations were involved there as well. But the majority of the salvations took place in the Jewish nation. And we go over to other chapters, chapter 3 and chapter 4, where we find great conversions of Jewish people. The gospel was being shot out to the Jewish nation. And the Bible said that Bible says in Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9 that many Jews trusted Christ as their Savior. But here at the end of chapter 9, we find Peter beside the bed of a lady that just passed away, Tabitha. And as Tabitha is lying there, or her body is lying there, we find Peter gets down on his knees and he starts praying for this lady. The people are gathered around. Of course, as you remember, Jews need signs to help their faith out. Jews need the sign of speaking in tongues. Jews need the sign of healing outside the gate beautiful. Jews needed a sign. And so here's all these Jews standing around. Peter gets on his knees and he starts to pray. Boy, I wish I was a little church mouse in the corner. Amen. Watching that. Oh, boy, that would bring revival to your heart. But here Peter gets down and he prays. And then he lifts up his hand and he pulls Tabitha up. And Tabitha revives, her body is revived, and she's given her life back. Peter gets done with that. Of course, that story took place in Joppa. And then Peter decides to go to a man by the name of Simon the tanner. And he goes to that house and he stays there. A great revival is taking place in Joppa. And as he's staying there, he decides one day to go up to the rooftop. And as he's on the housetop, he's praying. He didn't go up there to eat. He went up there to pray. And as he's praying, all of a sudden, this vision takes place. And the blanket or the sheet is lowered down. And I can't imagine what was in that thing. Maybe snakes and maybe rats and mice and, I don't know, worms or earthworms or whatever was in that thing. He looked at that and I'm sure his eyes bugged out and said, "Lord, me eat that?" Yeah, right. Never. I eat lamb. I eat such things as that. I mean, stuff that's well cooked. I eat those kind of things. Not this nasty snakes and all this junk. Lord, I can't eat this. I'm a clean person. These things are unclean. And a voice comes down from heaven. You talk about being rebuked from God, huh? He says here in verse 14, verse 13, it says, well, let's go down to verse 15. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. God says, hey, don't call that which is clean, that I've cleaned, don't call that common and don't call that filthy. I want you to partake. I told you to rise, kill, and eat. Everybody says, no. And then it happens again. You think, okay, one time would be fine. But then the second time that happens,
And Peter says, no, I'm not eating that. I already told you once, I'm not eating it. And all of a sudden, the third time it comes down, the Bible says there in verse 15, or in verse 16, this was done thrice. So we have Peter standing on top of the house, rooftop, and he's in a trance and he's seeing this vision. He says, unclean, Lord, unclean. I am clean. I can't partake of that. And then the real meaning of this vision comes to him when he hears a door knock. And he hears that door knock and God reveals the vision to him. But I want to preach this morning on the topic, a housetop missions conference. A housetop missions conference. I believe that God met with Peter there. From Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9 or Acts chapter 10, the gospel had been shot out to the Jewish nation. We read from Acts chapter 11 all the way to the end of Acts that all the nations are receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, a great change took place there on top of Simon's housetop. I believe that there was a missions conference that took place there. Oh yes, it didn't have all the fancy music and it didn't have all the banners and it didn't have the offering plate being passed, but it did have a sheet from heaven with unclean beasts in it. And God said, hey, you're not too good for those animals. You're not too good for what I put in that vision for you. And Peter realizes something. I just want to speak this morning on a few lessons that we can receive from the housetop missions conference. I believe, first of all, the attendance. I want to speak about the attendance of the missions conference. The attendance of the missions conference. You say, Brother Caleb, this must be a great missions conference. Here the gospel is going just to the Jewish nation. And then after this missions conference, as we call it this morning, after this missions conference, all of a sudden all the nations are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in just a couple chapters after this, we read the verse, they which have turned the world upside down have come to town. It says here, you must say, well, this must be a great multitude. People went out all over the place and told others about Jesus Christ. No. There was one man in the audience. There was one man in the audience. Who was that man? That man was Peter. Let's go to verse number 10. It says, verse 10, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. I believe Peter became very hungry physically. This is physical hunger here the Bible is talking about. He was very hungry physically, almost to the place of starvation. You've been there before? Hey, man, as a little kid, that's usually where we're at, a place of starvation when supper time comes. Well, he was in a place of great hunger. But I don't believe that he just had physical hunger. I believe he had spiritual hunger as well. I believe the audience was hungry for what God had for him. You say, where do you get that? In verse 9 it says, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Peter went up to pray about the sixth hour. There was one man in the audience. And his desire was that he would be filled hungrily, physically he was hungry, but even more so, before the physical hunger came to him, he was spiritually hungry. He was spiritually hungry. He wanted God to fill his heart spiritually. And as we prepare for this missions conference, a story to tell, we need to come to the auditorium next Sunday at 11 o'clock and we must have our spiritual hunger appetite completely to its fullest. We must be hungry spiritually or else otherwise we'll go home unchanged. We must have a spiritual appetite. Peter said, God, I've got to hear from you. God, I've got to hear from you. Yes, I'm going up on top of this housetop. And yes, I'm hungry. About the 12 o'clock hour, we'll all become hungry. Amen? So we'll know right what we're talking about this morning. Maybe even some of you are hungry this morning. Maybe you're hungry in Sunday school class. But I believe that Peter was hungry. Not only physically, but he was hungry spiritually. Just like Jacob. We find Jacob over in Genesis 32 and verse 26. Jacob was hungry. No, not physically. He was hungry spiritually as he wrestled with the angel and as he wrestled with God. And God said, let me go. And the angel said, let me go. He said, no, I will not until I receive a blessing from you. And we must come to the missions conference next Sunday with that attitude. God, I've got to hear from you. God, I've got to hear from you. You've got to come and you've got to meet with me. I've got to have my spiritual appetite filled. Is that how you're sitting in the pew this morning? Is that how you come to church and how you come to the Sunday school this morning with that appetite? God, I've got to hear from you. I've got to hear from you so I can live Monday in my Christian walk, and I can live Tuesday in my Christian walk, and I can win Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and come back on Sunday and be revived again. Is that how you came to the service this morning? Is that how you're going to come to the missions conference? Peter came to the missions conference, the housetop missions conference, with a spiritual hunger. A physical hunger, yes, but a spiritual hunger that topped that physical hunger. Our prayer, our cry, our song should be, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Instead of looking at somebody and being jealous, we should be jealous of the Holy Spirit working on our hearts. Lord, hey, I don't want you to touch so-and-so's heart down there at the back end of my pew and not touch mine. God, you've got to touch mine. Speak to my heart. Change my heart. Change my life. That's what we should be concerned about, our cry. Should be, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O God, I've got to hear from you. Oh God, I've got to hear from you. Jacob said, God, I will not let you go until I receive a blessing. And when I receive a blessing, then I'll let you go. God, I will not let missions conference go. God, I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to hold on until I receive a blessing from you. That should be our cry next Sunday as we come to the church service. God, I've got to hear from you. You've got to convict my heart. You've got to change my heart. That should be the desire of our hearts. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, I love this next word, shall. For they shall. And then I love the next word that comes out of that. Be filled. Not just halfway full, but completely full. As hungry as you are, that's as much as God will fill you up with. God, I'm going to come to this missions conference. God, next Sunday, my heart's going to be open to you. God, next Sunday, all I want is just for you to sit with me in my pew and speak to my heart. God, if you speak to my heart in this missions conference, then everything will be all right. Then my life will be changed. God, then I'll be able to go for it. I'll have a burden for souls. He says, if you're hungry like that, you shall be filled. You shall be filled. I remember growing up, I used to listen to Lester Roloff preach that message, and the mule walked on. Amen? Oh, that's a good message. It was underneath a tent. I think there was 1,500 people underneath the tent at that time, and they were having tornadoes going off. And on the tape, you can listen to the sirens, and they're going, roar, and you think, oh my goodness, that thing's going to come down any moment. Well, it did. In the invitation, it came down. I mean, the great big old tent came and collapsed, and you can hear at the invitation time people screaming out, God help us, God help us. But I can remember listening to that tape and loving to listen to that over and over in our bedroom and in the car. But there's one story that stuck with me. Brother Lester Roloff would get either a dime or a nickel from his mother. And she would go and say, get yourself a treat. And he would go downtown and he would get a triple dip ice cream cone. Huh? A triple dip ice cream cone. Yeah, that doesn't happen today. The $3, $4, $5, depending on if you go to Overrise, or if you go to another store. Triple dip. They would go home, their buddies, they would go home, and they would have a good time eating this triple-dip ice cream cone all the way home. And then as they came through the door, of course, it was all gone, and they came through the door, And mom, his mom would stand over the stove. She's cooking up a supper. Man, she's slaving. And the sweat is coming off her brow. He would say, and she would put the food in front of him. And he would look at it. And everybody would devour their food, and he would look at it. And he would look at it some more. And he would look at it some more, hoping that thing would grow some legs and walk off the table or something. But it just sat there. And his mom said, oh, you got to eat your food. You got to eat your food. You can't be hungry. You're going to get hungry in the middle of the night. He said, no, I'm just not hungry right now, Mom. I'm not hungry. So she would send him off to bed. He said in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, oh, he'd start crying. Mom would have to come in there and start rubbing his tummy because too much junk was in his stomach. Too much junk, a triple dip ice cream was in his stomach. He didn't have any room for the good stuff. Now this week, let's make sure that there is room for God's blessings in our spiritual appetite. Let's make sure there's some room there. God or the mission conference will be kicked off next Sunday. Preacher will bring a message. Our guest speaker is going to bring the message. And I'll guarantee you, the plate is going to be full. The platter will be full of delicious spiritual food for you. You're going to look at that. If you're full of the world's junk, you're going to look at that. And you won't even pick up the spoon. Boy, we need to come to the missions conference with an appetite that says, oh God, I'm so hungry. I will not let this missions conference go by me without getting some kind of blessing. Without you meeting with me this morning. Without you meeting with me this afternoon. Without you meeting with me on Monday's meeting, on Tuesday's meeting, on Wednesday's meeting. Oh God, you've got to give me a blessing from this missions conference. That ought to be our cry next Sunday as we come. It shouldn't be, oh well, praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you have a great time in Kenya as they're fighting over there. Government battle is going on. Hope you're safe over there, huh? No. Our heart's desire should be, oh God, what do you want from me out of this missions conference? What do you want from me out of this missions conference? Talk about hunger. David, I guess he's realized he's got an appetite. Boy, every morning he gets up. It's a beautiful morning for him. Every morning's an exciting morning for him. He gets up and he gets to the kitchen, and Emily will be making his oatmeal, and she'll be heating it up. And boy, he can't hardly wait. He goes over and just holds on. Oh, and he starts babbling. I don't know what he's saying. Mommy, give me food or something like that. But he just is a crying away. Oh, I gotta have something. My stomach is so hungry. I haven't eaten all night. And he goes on and on. But you know what? That should be our same response to Jesus tomorrow or next Sunday. Oh God, you've got to give us something. Oh God, you've got to speak to my heart. Oh God, I can't let go unless you give me something. Oh God, give me something. Oh God, give me something. That should be our desire. You see, there's only one person in the audience, and that person was hungry. You see, there is a guest speaker there as well. He was a pretty good guest speaker. The guest speaker was God. Amen. He showed up. And what we need is God to show up during the missions conference. We need God to show up. Boy, it's an exciting thing when God shows up. But may I tell you, every time, you check it out for yourself. You check it out. Every time mankind in the Bible seeks after God, God always shows up. Incredible. You seek after God next Sunday, He's going to show up. And that's what we want. Amen. You seek after God, God is going to show up. Hannah, you see her in the tabernacle. She is begging, oh God, give me a son. Oh God, give me a son. All of a sudden, God showed up. And a son was born. Amen? Yeah. David. And how many times do we read in the Old Testament, and David inquired of the Lord? Did God answer him every time? Yeah. Every time he inquired, God broke through. And God said, yes, David. What do you need? And every time you turn, you're hungry before the presence of God, God will meet you there. And God will fill you up. And our guest speaker in your heart and in your spirit next Sunday morning will be the Holy Spirit. That'll be your guest speaker. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking, I want to listen. I want to listen because I know He's got something important to say. I believe that the Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 1, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, and that thou wouldst come down. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens. Oh God, next Sunday we need you to peel back the heavens. We need you to come down. We need you to meet in these walls here at the 11 o'clock service. Oh God, we need you to come down. We need you to meet in every room, classroom next Sunday in the 10 o'clock classes. Oh God, we need you to come down. Be our guest speaker. Oh God, we invite you. That should be our plea to God. Let me ask you, if the Holy Spirit was sitting right beside you next week in missions conference, would it be welcome? Would it be welcome? Man, I can remember going on some vacations as a family. We'd go over to the Dakota, South Dakota. And I can remember visiting some of those churches. You'd walk in and you'd sit there and everybody would walk by. And everybody would walk by. And not just walk by, but then they'd get to their friend and stay. Visitors? What in the world? This is crazy. Where do they come from? This is incredible. And you'd feel so out of place. Have you ever visited a church like that? Yeah. You feel so out of place. You feel like, all right, check my shoelaces, my tie's on, okay. All right, everything's looking good. And you still you feel out of place. You know what? Will the Holy Spirit, if He comes down and meets with us, will the Holy Spirit feel out of place sitting by you next Sunday morning when the missions conference is kicked off? Does the Holy Spirit feel out of place when He's sitting with you next Sunday? How about this morning? How about this morning? Does the Holy Spirit say, man, I feel so uncomfortable here. I don't know what's going on. I feel so out of place. Is that what He's feeling like? I hope not. I hope not. Our desire should be, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you right here. I need you to take that long finger. I need you to pry. Break up the furrows of my hard heart. Oh, God, break up the soil. Break up the fallow ground, the Bible says in the Minor Prophets. Break up that fallow ground. Then will the Holy Spirit feel out of place? I believe the attendance of that conference was only two people. You see, it was a housetop missions conference. It was a housetop missions conference. Two people, one person in the audience, and a guest speaker. The guest speaker was God Almighty. And when God Almighty shows up, boy, that's when our ears need to prick up. I believe the preaching of the missions conference, the preaching was so unusual. How many times do you see a sheep come down from heaven and see four-footed beasts and wild animals in that blanket? That's unusual preaching. That's unusual illustrations. Yet the preaching was unusual. God was the guest speaker. There was nobody sleeping. There was nobody laughing. Peter was all ears. God, what do you have for me? I can remember in Oklahoma, we had a special fella that sat usually on the third row. And he had this laugh that would crack everybody up. And some of you who have visited down there, you know what I'm talking about. The laugh, you'd be, and it'd just go on and on and on and on. You think, shut the engine off, come on now. But it'd just go on and on. And the preacher would make a joke, and everybody, ha, ha, ha. And everybody's done. And boy, you can hear the crowd breaking loose. It was rough to stay concentrated. But that guy, he was a blessing. Anyways, there was nobody laughing during this missions conference. There was nobody sleeping. There's no Eutychus there falling off the top window. Amen. They were all Peter was focused in. But the message was all are equally deserving to hear the gospel. The message was, they're all mankind is equally deserving to hear the plan of salvation. Might I say, that's the way it is today. All mankind, all mankind should hear the gospel of Jesus Christ at least one time. In their lifetime, the presentation of the gospel should ring off their ears at least once. At least once, Peter said, hey, God, look it. All these Jews have been saved. And God said, I'm not satisfied with that. Hey, Peter, we've got to get the Gentiles. Gentiles? Those four-footed beasts, those wild animals. Get them saved. And God says, yes, I want them saved. You see, so often we can get the same mentality that was going on in the book of Acts from chapter 1 to chapter 9. Yes, America should get the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to us. Yes, but how about the Chinese? How about those over in Africa? Huh? God desires for those people to get saved just as much. He says in verse 34, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. God says, looks down from heaven, He says, I want those Chinese kids to get saved just as much as the American kids to get saved. I want those Ugandans to get saved, those little children in Uganda to get saved. Boy, remember the slide a couple Wednesdays ago? Boy, I was watching that. Boy, that looks just like my bus kids. That's just like my bus kids. Just like my bus kids, they're all over the world. They're all over the world. You bus captains, the children are all over this world. And God says, yes, I want every soul in America to get saved. But that's not it. Peter, I didn't come to preach that message. I come to preach not just the Jews, but I want the whole world to hear the plan of salvation. I want the Gentiles and the Jews to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not just a certain amount of people. I want all men everywhere to repent. God said, that's my message, Jesus says. God says to Peter, God says, I want the Americans to get saved. I want one of the 1.3 billion Chinese to get saved. He says, that's my desire. At least one of the 1.3 billion. I want all of them to get saved. But I'm interested in each individual. He says, yes, I get excited when a little boy and girl get saved over the United States. But I want to see one of the 3.3 million Canadians trust Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. You see, He's not just concerned with the United States. He's concerned over the world that He created. Just as He wants a little boy that rides our bus to get saved, He wants one of the 108 million Mexicans to get saved in Mexico. Just as He wants one of our boys and girls, just as He wants my son to get saved when he's of age, He wants one of the 1.1 billion Indians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, the message to Peter was not, Peter, you've done a great job. Done a great job. Look at all these thousands of Jews that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Bravo, good job, good job. I'm happy for you. No, His message was, Peter, I want you to take this gospel. Yes, you've been focusing on the Jewish nation. I want you to take that and I want to shoot it across the whole world. Let the whole world know that Jesus saves. Let the whole world know that there's a Savior that's died for them. That was His message. That was His message. All the population of the world, 6.6 billion people. As of July of 07. That's a huge amount of people that God wants saved. It's a huge amount. Boy, if we can help, if we can send another missionary, if we can send someone else to go tell just a little Chinese boy or girl or mom or dad how Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. If we could send one more missionary to a place where the gospel's never been heard, it'd be worth it all. It'd be worth it all. The Housetop Missions Conference. The audience was one person. The guest speaker was God. The preaching of the conference was that, yes, God is happy for all the Jews that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, He was happy about that. He was thrilled. His joy was full. But He said, yet I want the whole world to hear, not just one nation. And God does not just want America to hear. God does not just want the Philippines to hear. God does not just want Mexico to hear. He wants the whole world. There are some countries we could name off. We'd say, where in the world is that? I've never even heard of that country before. And yet there's living souls there, dying and spending eternity in hell. Every second somebody is dying. Every second somebody is spending eternity somewhere. And might I say, a great majority is in hell. Every second, over more than one person, every second is spending eternity somewhere. So God said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves the whole world. He loves the whole world. Not just the United States. Not just the nations that I just called off. But the nations we don't even know about. The nations that we would have to take an encyclopedia and look their name up and where are they at on the globe. Those nations. Those nations God wants to hear. Let them hear the gospel. I believe the result. The result of the missions conference. Let's go to verse 19. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. Doubting nothing. For I have sent them. He says, Peter, the missions conference is over. Missions conference is over. I want you to go to the door. There's going to be three people there. When they talk to you, I want you to go, and you're going to go to a man by the name of Cornelius. And in his house is going to be all these Gentiles. Gentiles. Just the message he had heard. The Gentiles need to hear the gospel. God said, Peter, I don't want you to doubt. I want you to go right to their house, and I want you to tell them about Jesus Christ. We read in verse 30 or 28. It says, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful thing, it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has shown me. He said, hey, I just heard a message. He said, I heard a message. I was hungry. I received the message. And now I'm not just hearing it, but it's going right there. I'm putting it to my soul, on my shoe. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I just heard about you guys. You guys need to get saved. And so Peter goes there, and this whole house full of people in Cornelius' house trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, the result of the missions conference was one will give of himself. The result of this missions conference, a story to tell, will be one will give of himself. Peter says, I'm a Jew. A Jew should not enter in to the same place that a Gentile is. But you know what? Because I just heard a message, I am going to put aside myself and I am going to tell you about Jesus Christ. He said, a Jew is not supposed to fellowship with you. But because I heard the message, I'm going to let God use me to lead you to Christ. Peter says, I'm hungry. What in the world? You want me to travel all that distance that you just traveled? And you want me to give up my time? What are you talking about? You see, Peter, after hearing the missions conference on the housetop, he said, I am willing to give of myself. I'm willing to give of my time. I'm willing to give of my energy. And I'm willing to put down my own self-esteem and go and tell the Gentiles of Jesus Christ. He put himself down. And he said, I will go. I will go. You see, the result of a missions conference should be one will give of himself. No, I'm not talking about necessarily packing up your bags, hopping on a plane the Monday after next, and flying over to whatever country. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going on a missions trip and spending months and months over there. I'm not necessarily talking about that. But what I am talking about is giving yourself. When I see the need, the 6.6 billion people, all of a sudden that causes me to reach in my pocket and causes me to open up my billfold and causes me to put something in the plate as it goes by and say, God, I was there at the missions conference. You spoke to my heart. Now, God, the result of that missions conference is I've got to give. I'm compelled to give. I've got to do something to reach those people over there. And the only way you can do it, unless you're going to pack up your bags and you're going to go yourself, is to support the people that have gone out on all the missions boards out there and give of your prayers and of your time. In the morning when you get up, you pray for those missionaries. That's the only way we can do it. Praying for the missionaries. Giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving of our finances to bring these people all across the world. Except perhaps one more little boy or one more little girl can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. He didn't give an excuse. He said there's plenty of excuses here in verse 28. I've got plenty of excuses. But Paul's heart was stirred. He said, I've got to do something. You see, the audience in the missions conference was Peter, one man. One man. Yet he came with a true hunger. Not a physical hunger. A spiritual hunger. And if you and I will come next Sunday with a spiritual hunger for whatever God has for us, the guest speaker will show up. Yes, we're going to have a guest speaker, but another guest speaker is going to show up. That guest speaker will sit down right beside you. I sure hope he feels welcome. See, the message of the missions conference was everybody deserves to hear the gospel at least one time. And the result of the missions conference was, I will give myself. I'll give my time. I'll give my energy. I'll give even some of my finances. God, I want somebody to get saved through this. How are you going to approach next week's missions conference? Housetop missions conference. Housetop missions conference. Are you going to approach next week's missions conference with a prepared heart? So, God, I know you got something for me. What is it? I'm willing to hear. I'm ready to hear. Oh, God, speak to my heart. God, if you pass me by, I'm going to be just like a little child, holding on to his mother's dress. Give me some food. I've got to have some food. Huh? Is that how you'll be? Oh, God, don't pass me by. Pass me not, oh, gentle Savior. Hear my gentle cry. Oh, hear me. Hear my humble cry. Pass me not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Missions conference is 7 days away. That means we have an opportunity for the next 7 days to prepare our heart. Each day, say, God, prepare my heart. Prepare my heart. God, make me hungry. Make me hungry. How I'm hungering and thirsting after your voice in my heart. How will you come to next week's missions conference? Well, maybe you say, Brother Caleb, yes, I believe that we need to send more missionaries. But I have not been telling the people in my own neighborhood. How can you expect somebody to be concerned about the rest of the world when they're not even concerned about their own neighborhood or their own community or their own city? You say, Brother Caleb, I need to go out sowing. I need to be here on Tuesday morning. I need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. They would say, that's me. I need that. Maybe say, Brother Caleb, I need to pray about the result as far as the decision, what God would have me to do for this missions conference. Ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to move your step. You say, Brother Caleb, God spoke to my heart sometime throughout the message. That's me. I'll just raise my hand. I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. That hand. That hand. That hand. Several hands all over. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're sitting here not knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You heard a tremendous Sunday school lesson on salvation. You'd say, Brother Caleb, I'm not sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Brother Caleb, I know that God wants every soul to be saved. And I know that includes me. Brother Caleb, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never done that. Or maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? I have trusted Jesus Christ. I know heaven's my home. Would you raise your hand? I know 100% sure. Keep your hands up. I know 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. Put your hands down. Back to the question that I was asking earlier. I'm not 100% sure. I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Maybe that's someone here today. I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Anybody like that? I see that hand. Little child. All right. I'm going to have a word of prayer. When I get done, the musicians will be playing. And as God's dealt in your heart, hands were raised, you come and do business with the Lord. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that we can read about a housetop missions conference. Oh God, I pray next Sunday we would come to this, to your house with an open heart, a hungry spirit, a desire to hear from you. God, I pray that you be the guest speaker in our hearts. Lord, I pray that the message would stir our hearts and burden us. God, I pray that we would let a change happen in our hearts. God, I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, that God, they would make that decision this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand as the music begins. God has touched your heart. God spoke to you. You come down. You do business with the Lord.